I was part of a program. I don't know if they still do it. It's called delayed enlistment. My junior year in high school, I enlisted in the service. I wasn't active duty, but my whole year in high school, my senior year, I was in the service.
Okay, so you must have been about 17 years old at this time. Yeah. Do you remember what motivated you to sign up?
I knew I didn't want to do college. This is 1977, so we're only 2 years removed from Vietnam. So the military was on a downslope, you know, a lot of issues. The public wasn't up there. I just wanted to get out of town. I think the biggest thing is I wanted to leave.
So how did your parents feel when you
told them? Had to sign me up for it. And just before I went in, I got cold feet and wanted to get out of it. But my parents, I give them credit. They said, nope, you signed up for it. You do it. It was a contract. They were real big about that, you know. Your word is your word. My first duty station was Korea, South Korea. And it was really tough time because while I'm at dog school, the South Korean president had been assassinated, Park Chung-hee. This is 79. So when we got there, they didn't have it. They implemented a midnight to 4 a.m. curfew, and they meant it. They shoot you, then pick you up and ask you questions, the Koreans, South Koreans, because they were in turmoil. Then I was stationed at 1st to the 2nd Air Defense Artillery Delta Battery, and it was a Hawk missile site. And I'm a dog handler. And dog handlers and military police, we got special duty. I didn't have to do KP. Because I'm out walking a fence line, basically like you might imagine, with a dog. And the dogs we had at that time were sentry dogs. And I was the last sentry dog class. And those dogs were basically like the Vietnam dogs. That dog bit you and you had to choke the dog to get it off. There was no command to get it off. A patrol dog, you got to stop the action of the dog. You can say, out, and the dog will stop. Just come to a dead stop and watch you until you do something wrong. And if the dog bites you, you can tell it out, and it'll stop biting you. But my dog wasn't built that way. He was built to tear you apart, because I'm guarding a Hawk missile site. Propaganda balloons would come over. They have an altitude button in them and a battery, and it's full of propaganda from North Korea. And then it would explode, and all the propaganda would rain down on the
hill. Like
just hill.
Papers and yeah, stuff papers. Like that? Yeah,
papers. And then we'd find the balloon and stuff on our sites, and it'd have Duracell battery, Ever-Ready batteries that had been black marketed up to North Korea, and you could see the technology and stuff in it, the wires.
Do you remember what any of the papers or anything
said? A lot of times it was basically to get South Koreans to come and join the North, you know. And then I went to Fort Polk, Louisiana, and I was planning on getting out, but they gave me Hawaii as my dream sheet for my reenlistment. So I said, okay, I'll reenlist. Send me to Hawaii. And then I had my PTSD for me. It's not combat because I didn't do any combat. It's more first responders type. Because when you're on a base in the States and stuff, I didn't have to guard missile sites. So I actually did police work on a base at Schofield Barracks. Traffic, DWI, speeding, homicide investigation,
and so
suicide.
So this is all people
just like a policeman does.
In the Army, though, right?
Military. Because okay. You got to realize any military installation is just like a little city. And my PTSD and stuff came from the first time that I found out what a pedophile was. A little girl was abducted at a bowling alley in Schofield Barracks. And we had to go search, and being a dog handler, they used the dogs to search. And fortunately or unfortunately, I was the one that found her body in a dumpster. And that's my type of PTSD that I have, not combat, but first responder type PTSD.
When did it occur to you that you started wanting to look for some help or find a way to cope?
My drug of choice for me to combat my PTSD was money and stuff. And that was my biggest stressor. So got a bunch of credit card debts and stuff like that. And it just imploded on me. So you had to do a bankruptcy and stuff like that. And then getting hurt really bad at the police department didn't help me either. So when I moved over here, that's when I got involved into the VA in El Paso, got signed up. They have the outpatient clinic here. But the biggest thing is they were pumping me full of pills. What really helped me was coming and doing cognitive therapy. So I got my marijuana card, and it's completely changed. I have no medicines. I've dropped 150 pounds.
What do you think is the best thing that, you know, civilians and the government can do for veterans these days?
It's just my opinion, but if you serve and your honor will be discharged, just like all the guidelines, and if you serve more than 3 years, maybe two tours and stuff, or two terms, enlistments, 8 years or whatever, I think they should have some type of a retirement. If your congressman and stuff can do two tours or two sittings up there and get full retirement, why can't a soldier get that? You know, you shouldn't have to wait until you do 20 years and you're all busted up to get any type of compensation. They should be compensated much better, especially with like mental health and stuff and their physical health.